Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Tearsheet Podcast, where we explore financial services together with an eye on technology, innovation, emerging models, and changing expectations. I'm Tearsheet's editor-in-chief, Zach Miller. Today, we have a special guest joining us, Shmulik Fishman, CEO of Argyle. I've spoken to Shmulik a few times over the years, and it's really interesting to see how early he was to the space he's playing in, as well as the impact Argyle's having on financial services. The firm's recent investment round, I think, speaks to that. Argyle has been at the forefront of digital income verification, transforming how lenders, mortgage processors, banks, and fintechs verify income. In this episode, we'll explore Argyle's mission to enhance data completeness and streamline user experience through payroll connectivity. We'll dive into Argyle's recent Series C fundraising, Shmulik's and Argyle's vision for the future of payroll connectivity, and the impact they're making on the financial services industry. Without further ado, let's jump right into the conversation.
I'm Shmulik Fishman. I'm one of the founders of Argyle. We've been building this company for the last 6 years. Argyle is a digital income verification tool, and we work with lenders, mortgage processors, banks, and fintechs to help verify income on behalf of their consumers.
Welcome back to the podcast, Shmulik. I think you're probably one of the guests we've had most repeat visits here on the podcast. It's always great to talk to you.
It's great to be with you again, and I'm glad that this is a good venue to have this conversation.
Absolutely, and it's been really interesting for me as the host, like kind of tracking your progress, both as a company and as an entrepreneur. Neither has been lost upon me, and a congratulations is in order here. You closed the fundraising. What went down?
Yeah, the big news is that we just closed our Series C. We have an additional $30 million ka-ching. Of capital. Yeah, ka-ching.
Nice, congratulations.
I think the really big milestone for us is that this marks sort of the $100 million in capital raised. I think it's like really important to maybe take a step back for a sec.
Sure.
A lot of exciting news around the fundraise, but there's a really big change happening in the marketplace. For so long, if you've been renting an apartment or getting a loan, perhaps getting a mortgage, getting insurance, you've experienced this process of uploading pay stubs or your W-2 or sending an email with those documents.
It's outright painful. I can admit
it's weird.
Yes.
Yeah. It's weird. I, you know, in the age of AI and automation in 2024, yet here we are with these pieces of paper that are being updated and manually moved around. And here is this opportunity now where instead of doing all of that antiquated paperwork, you can log into your own payroll account and share your income data with these banks, with these lenders. It's a process where the consumer certainly has a lot of gains around ease of use and security, but it's a huge step forward for lenders where they're kind of unshackled from these very manual, antiquated processes of looking and reviewing and approving their consumers. So I really think there's a much bigger theme at place than just us raising some additional capital, but it will allow us to get our message out to more people for sure.
Absolutely. And it definitely sounds like a win-win-win, I guess, for three parties involved. So let's double click on the fundraise itself. Can you share some of the details?
Yes. Yeah, so the newcomer to the board is Rockefeller Asset Management. Rockefeller's best known for owning quite a bit of real estate around the country and around the world. But they have set up a fintech fund. And we're really lucky that Chris is joining the board, and we're one of their initial investments out of this new fintech fund. And it's been great to have them around the table. We're definitely building an enduring business that is going to be here for the long run. And Rockefeller shares that type of vision of building an enduring business. And so it's great to have them join. And in addition to that, all of the investors from our previous rounds, Bain, SignalFire, and Checker, participated in this round as well. So it's really exciting to have all this firepower behind us.
Yeah, it sounds like a vote of confidence. And also, congratulations for doing it in a tough fundraising environment. What was that like?
I've come to really enjoy working with investors and pitching our business. I think it's very important that we have a business that is great for our clients, for our consumers, for the people that use our product. But it's important also to be building a business that works for investors, a business that is investable, one that has returns. And being able to focus that message and work with investors to understand what are the metrics, how do we have a top performing business is something that I've taken a lot of pride in. And I'm glad that we're able to put those metrics on the board for our board and for our investors as well.
That's awesome. So let's take a step back. In our conversations over the years, you know, it's clear that you're positioning yourself as a leader in a new category that I believe you're calling payroll connectivity. Can you elaborate more on what that category is and how Argyle is setting the standards within it?
Yeah, in a way, we're sort of the pattern for payroll, if we can make that joke. There's a lot of businesses that aggregate or connect into data sets. Mm-hmm. There's a set of businesses that connect into bank information. Perhaps there's a set of businesses that are connecting into payments. We're a business that connects into payroll processors. And as we were alluding to before, payroll holds a ton of information, a ton of depth on how people are making their money. And for the very first time, it is now possible for a lender to access all of that information digitally through a very integrated offering or platform. And so while the technology might be new, to be able to access all these payroll systems all through one pattern called Argyle, the use cases have been around forever. The use case of wanting to get a loan and needing to verify, do you have enough money to cover the monthly installments? That use case has been around for a very long time. That problem set everybody can relate to, or the problem set of, I want to get an apartment. I need to verify that I have a job in order to get that apartment. Everybody can relate to that problem set, or even a mortgage. I'm trying to, you know, I'm buying a house, maybe it's worth $500,000 and I want to get a 30-year fixed. You know, that process, it requires a ton of paperwork and verifying your employment, I think, several times in the process. That problem everybody can relate to, and we want to make it easier for the consumer, for the person that's trying to get that mortgage, that loan, that apartment, but also, again, for the lender, for the business that wants to have a quicker close time. And I think what's great is to see these outcomes really taking place. You know, we're working with a set of customers where they're able to consolidate down close times, sometimes by weeks. And this is just because we're adding technology into these process points that we've been talking about.
And along the way, because you're a pioneer in this space, do you also feel like you're setting the standards for the industry as well?
You know, I'm so glad that you're so bold to say that. I think so as well. I think there's a set of standards around what payroll connectivity is. And I think there's also a set of standards around certain metrics that our lenders want to achieve. A big one, a focus for us, is this concept around conversion. And what that really means, just to make it really practical, is if you have 100 consumers that want to get a loan, how many of those consumers can Argyle verify income on? The lender's always going to make the choice on who they're going to approve or reject for a loan, but mm-hmm. Argyle wants to provide data for as many of them as possible. Last year, we hit a conversion high watermark of 55%. That means on average, more consumers have a successful experience with Argyle than not. Mm-hmm. And this year, we're trying to take that up another step. We have a goal to have 60% conversion. I think we're going to beat it given some of our internal metrics. So we're definitely setting standards around our conversion. The other thing is around data quality. We're returning 175 fields for every payroll connection that we make. These are fields around job title and start date, base pay, mm-hmm. taxes, commissions, 401k contributions. There's a bunch of granularity there. And system-wide, 95% of the time, all those fields are returned. This is a really high level of data quality that you're not getting through any other platform. I'll add in one other place that I think that we're setting the standards, and that's around humans. We've taken a very hands-on approach. In fact, a substantial amount of the dollars from the C round are going to go to further and double down on this approach. Mm-hmm. But we believe working on-site, in-person, hands-on, a consultative approach with our clients is super important. And so we're really trying to take a much friendlier approach with our lender partners and say, how can we assist you? How can we add technology into your workflow that helps and customize it for your operations? So that's it's a big place we're focusing on as well.
And I know the complexity of being able to provide that coverage over 55%, 60% of the people who try to connect via their payroll. Like, can you? I know you in previous podcasts you've sort of quantified that for us. Can you talk about the complexity between why that's so hard?
We love looking at friction.
By the way, even though we're publishing in audio, when you started talking about the fields, the 135 fields that you return, your eyes lit up. So I can tell, like, you live and breathe this stuff, you know?
I happen to nerd out on data quality and conversion. I think I'm quite lucky that the metrics that are so important to our lenders, I happen to love working on as well. And we also happen to have a team, frankly, that I enjoy being caught up and cooped up with on these issues, but they are very nerdy issues. Conversion is the real art of looking at the smallest changes on screens. Mm-hmm. And I find it just fascinating that the transitions, the colors, the buttons, the fonts, the spacing, the help text that's in each one of these screens affects user behavior. And it's not just blanket user behavior. Certain payroll processors, certain user demographics, all have changes on net conversion. There's a certain set of analogies that I actually think are quite helpful. You think what you want about Robinhood. They have a really addictive app. Think what you want about DraftKings. That app works. And there's a set of best practices about how to get consumers to click the buttons they need to click. And we're very focused on that at Argyle for the use case of payroll connectivity. Mm-hmm. We are not nearly done focusing on all the nuances, all the places where we can optimize the consumer funnel. It's something that we do on behalf of all of our clients. The net effect to our clients, what our clients experience, is better conversion. And we take care of all this nitty gritty button sizes, font colors, help text transitions on behalf of getting that conversion number up. But it's the art of a thousand things working very well. It's the same thing with data quality. Each one of these payroll processors has many different subversions and nuances inside of it. I happen to know way too much about it. Nobody wants to learn any of that, and that's completely fine. But job title shows up in a bunch of different ways depending on where the payroll, how the payroll processor has built their system. And so we want to take that complexity, solve it for our clients, and just be able to deliver base pay, job title. And that's what we're focused on every day.
Got it. I'd be remiss not to ask you what the use of proceeds are for the round. That's one of the typical questions we ask. So you alluded to one of the uses, hiring talent, in your previous answer. What are you going to use the money for?
Yeah. So clicking a level deeper there, the way that we've set up our go-to-market operations is a verticalized approach where we have a dedicated team for mortgage processing, a dedicated team for lending, background check, employment screening. And we want to grow those dedicated teams. And we also want to be able to go into additional verticals that are interesting to us and set up dedicated go-to-market operations there. So that there's a big focus there. And also we want to make sure that, in order to get from 60 to 70% conversion from data quality from 95 to 98, these are investments that we want to make. What we're hopeful though, is that we can start to use some of our revenue as well to power these operations. So I think there's a healthy trade-off between investment dollars and revenue dollars in order to fund this growth.
And as you've matured as a company, one of the things we've spoken about in the past is, moving upstream into bigger clients, more complex clients. Can you talk about what that transition has looked like, both as a company and as a leader as well?
Yeah, so it's important to know that the top 50 names in all these verticals do the substantial amount of volume. And so we want to be partnering with the largest lenders, mortgage processors, background check providers in the world. And that means that we need to build tools for them. And last year, we spent a long time on this. It's why we've spent time getting our D1C certificate from Fannie Mae, integrating with ICE, Encompass, nCino, Dark Matter, which is the former Black Knight platform. This is all in an effort to get Argyle where the volume already is. And it also means that we want to be working with these types of institutions to figure out how to customize the product to their use case. I'm enjoying being able to have this very hands-on approach and to work with clients. It's also fun to see that there's a lot of institutions out there that are not tech first, and that we need to build for them. And while we have a ton of technology on the Argyle side, we're building product for people that are, you know, not tech native, and that's okay. I think there's been a change at Argyle to be focused on solutions, to be focused on our clients, not to be first focused on the technology, and let humans lead.
And I definitely sense that, having spoken to a few of your general managers. Have you seen the impact of that consultative approach, like in terms of retention or other numbers they can point to show like it's working?
Yeah, to do a real use case, we have a great client in regional finance. And one of the things that we've learned is that you always get a local champion. And so there's some local champions that are like power users of the Argyle platform that really know where all the buttons are and all the tricks. And it's I think that one of the places where we want to invest is getting those local champions to teach other people at their branch, other people in their office, and being able to partner with them. And we wouldn't have discovered this without our verticalized approach, without our being on site and really having that relationship or consultative based relationship with our clients. So there's a lot there, and it's good to see that there's a set of users that know more about our console or know more about the API than I do at this point.
I feel like there's going to be like an Argyle World Summit, you know, in the making in the next couple of years.
Yes. Yes. At some point we'll have our own conference. I'm looking forward to that day.
Yeah. Argyle Force. So we're getting to the end of our conversation, and I'm curious, you know, it's a typical question I ask near the end of our podcast is like, as we look out into 2024, like what are some of your biggest plans, goals? What's on your agenda this year?
So we want to focus on the blocking and tackling of providing better outcomes to our clients, getting conversion to go up, data completeness to go up is important to me because that's what our clients are grading us on. I also think that there's definitely a conversation to be had about the next 12 months and the next 24 months, but we're building this business to be very enduring and being around for quite some time. And you can sense, or I'm sensing, that there's a lot of momentum around transforming the way people verify income for all sorts of use cases. And I think that's very exciting that we have this opportunity to kind of remake what does it mean to verify people's money. And for right now, yes, we're very focused on mortgage and lending, background check, tenant screening. These are important use cases. But I'm very excited about the 30 other use cases that we haven't turned on yet, but are very much there. And I think in the years to come, you're going to see us branch out into other types of businesses, other form factors in which income data can really play a role. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
And you think you'll do that through this verticalized model as well?
I very much do. The GM strategy is, I think, great for us as a business, but it's also really important for our clients that they have a leader, sort of a mini CEO that is on the Argyle side that really understands their business. So I'm a huge believer in it.
Well, congratulations, Shmuluk. It's great catching up with you as always, and especially
Thank
when
you.
There's great good news on board. And thanks for joining us today on the Tearsheet podcast.
Thank you for having me.